The Mid-Morning Show, brought to you by Gilmore's Kings Court, your local Mercedes-Benz dealership. Call us today to drive the awesome 2018 E-Class with class-leading levels of specification, including an AMG exterior pack, leather upholstery, satellite navigation, and much more. That's a lot of awesome. Gilmore's, your local Mercedes-Benz dealership, Kings Court 042-966-7126, or see gilmores.ie.
Paul McKenna on LMFM.
Once again, a very good morning to you. It's great to be here with you on a Thursday, and we're just a little bit before 11:15. And the reason I say that is 45 minutes in this hour seems like such a long time, but we have such a busy show for you. And we are going to be starting off in just a little bit with Fuí Gaeta. And this is an 8-piece traditional Irish music group who have been, people have been singing their praises just all over the place. They have been predicted to be and described as the next Chieftains. We're going to be having, hopefully, fingers crossed, two numbers from them from Studio 2 here at Broadcasting House in LMFM in just a little bit. We'll be speaking to Dave McGooey as well. He's heading off to Haiti with his daughter tomorrow, so we'll have him on the phone. We were hoping to have him into studio, but couldn't do that, but certainly we'll go for the phone. And Lynham is the current Meath Rose. We're hoping to speak to Ken Bramford as well. He's a Samaritans volunteer. And at the minute, he's cycling from Northern Ireland, and his end location will be Gibraltar. And he's taking in a bit of a rugby match or a football match along the way as well. So we're hoping he's going to pop in as he travels through the region. And Anne Noon and Cyril Gillen, who, by the way, Cyril is the chairperson of the Drogheda branch of Cystic Fibrosis Ireland. And they will be in studio at about 12:40 to talk about the Dalík 10K. So a deep breath. We've got so much to get through. Can I just tell you this one little thing as well, apart from all of that? If you're currently just indulging in your first coffee or your second or subsequent coffee of the morning, if you're on three coffees at this stage, things are bad. But can you imagine a world without any coffee to drink? No coffee shops, no jars of coffee, nothing like that. It was a possibility many, many years ago, and we could be going back to maybe 1000 AD, because before becoming a beverage, coffee, and I was just thinking about this, I had to go and look it up and research it yesterday, coffee was consumed as energy balls. There were coffee berries mixed with animal fat, and that's what they did all those years ago. They used to eat coffee, not drink it. So if it hadn't been turned into a beverage sometime around 1000 AD by some early East African tribes, you wouldn't be drinking it. You'd be chewing on it and spitting it out. Mid-morning show, you are very welcome along. Let's start with this from Westlife.
You make me feel funny when you come around. Yeah, that's what I found out, honey. What am I doing without you?
Mid-morning show, best laid plans and all that. So fingers crossed that everything is going to go according to plan for this very first piece. You just heard Westlife with A World of Our Own. Now, before we speak to any of the members of Fuí Gaeta, the 8-piece Irish traditional music group who fuse Irish Afro beats, I suppose, if you want to put it like that, we're going to take maybe one or two tunes from them. But I want to tell you, these are the winners of this year's Secondary School Stars. They have been compared to the Chieftains, and Louis Walsh himself was singing their praises from a height that if he'd fallen off, it would have taken maybe 2 weeks for him to reach the ground. But anyway, they are absolutely phenomenal. They were rehearsing out on reception a little bit earlier on this morning, and everybody was just looking down over reception, thinking, wow, there's a lot of them and they sound so good. So we're going to go to Studio 2. This is Fuí Gaeta. I'm not quite sure which one they're going to begin with, but I do know we're going to hear two tunes back to back. So in your own time, please, this is Fuí Gaeta.
One, two. Thank you.
Tom Korha Vemeno Molly Molly Tom Korha Vemeno Molly Tom Korha Vemeno Molly Molly Tom Korha Vemeno Molly Tranonin Janux Migdala Wild Kerucht Shaday Arkis Hunts Bev and Niki Disri Safindi Galarshi Askillum Tom Korha Vemeno Molly Molly Tom Korha Vemeno Molly Tom Korha Vemeno Molly Molly Tom Korha Vemeno Molly A wirin dundilish See on show he flum August a shriek to hum skill to her tish A quick is a hashis A haru agoni Tom Korha Vemeno Molly Tom Korha Vemeno Molly Tom Korha Vemeno Molly Molly Tom Korha Vemeno Molly Roshim Ranyeta Sagarjin Shahivlin Is Ivanim Arstinu Rehiji Mars Rogyoshin Kameshiv Rokta Tom Korha Vemina Mali Mali Tom Korha Vemena Molly Tom Korha Vemena Molly Molly Tom Korha Vemena Molly Tom Korha Vemena Molly Molly Tom Korha Vemena Molly
That was simply outstanding. Fui Gasa. I was waiting for more. I was actually hoping there'd be more, but Pamela Campbell, we have you here in studio. You are the music teacher. You're responsible for the end product, I suppose how it sounds, but the talent in there is phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very lucky to get to work with these lads every single day in the De La Salle, and I'm blessed, really. It's an honour, and they're very talented, and there's the unique thing about them is that they bring their own backgrounds into the music room. So whether it's from classical, traditional, Afro influences, and I think they all come together and it blends lovely.
Now, I know we're going to speak to three members of Fui Gasa, three out of the eight, in just a moment. We'll be speaking. Indeed, Donica, Sam and Colm can actually make their way into the studio at this moment, and we'll get them seated and we'll have a quick chat there as well. But Pamela, how long does it take actually to reach that standard? Because, I mean, you have to have the aptitude in the first place.
Yeah, it does. It takes a lot of practice and a lot of commitment. But these lads make themselves available every time, every day at lunchtimes. We come in on over holidays if necessary. But they're very talented, and they bring in all the knowledge and ideas themselves. So it's easy from my point to work with them. They're amazing.
Which one is Donica? This is Donica over there. Donica, if you can make your way to that blue microphone that Pamela was just using there. Donica, I understand, apart from playing the flute, the whistle, the harp, and the list goes on, you're also, not only are you 15 years of age, you're also a runner.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
So where do you get the time? How do you fit in all the time for practice to sound the way you sounded in there with your colleagues?
Well, it's kind of just it's a long days, I suppose, but I try to get it all done and keep it all going.
And how long have you been playing this range of instruments? Obviously, you started on one first and then perhaps progressed to the other. That's the only way I can imagine it. But do you come from a musical background?
Well, my mum plays and so does my sister, and on my dad's side, it'd be a good bit of music. So I started the whistle first and then the flute and the piano, and like 2013 started the harp.
And what age did you start your first instrument?
I was probably 5 or 6, started the whistle.
So roughly 9 or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, together, Fui Gasa have been described as the new chieftains. I would imagine, playing what you play and the standard you play too, that you're aware of who the chieftains are anyhow. But I mean, that must be some massive compliment.
Yeah, we were so happy to hear that from Louis, because like, he knows the music industry, and it was just a massive honour to play for him and everything.
Right, okay. And this is obviously a path you're going to pursue.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're going to stay together and see how it goes.
And is there any opportunity maybe that it could, or any chance it could expand, that you could take on more members of Fui Gasa rather than just the eight?
Yeah, well, we look at like other musicians in the school and try and branch out for not just traditional music, try pop music and stuff as well. So there's opportunity for that.
Now, I want to come to this gentleman here. This is Sam Oga Medeli, is it? Did I get that correct? Just move, please, into that microphone there, and we'll hear what you have to say. Now, I understand originally your family come from Nigeria. You were born in Ireland as well.
Yeah.
So how, and I hope you won't take offence in this question, but how did you come to have a liking for Irish traditional music? Is it right, really, that I suppose that the rhythm and the beats will be something similar to your native music?
Yeah, that's kind of what brought me into playing Irish music. First of all, I really like it's kind of different to every other type of music, every other genre of music. So when I started playing Irish music, it was just a new experience, and I couldn't like think of anything better to do at that time but to play Irish music.
Now, your father's a pastor as well. Yeah. in your own church, isn't he? And you played there. What part does your involvement in the church take? Because I know you're quite involved.
Yeah, I am part of the audio department, and I'm part of the choir department. So also I lead the youth choir. So I help a lot in voices and instruments and making sure everyone comes together as one unit.
Which instrument would you have started playing first? I know you played the bongo drums, you played the pianos as the piano as well, quite a recognisable sound, obviously.
Yeah.
Which one of those would be your favourite, or did you start first?
I started playing the drums first, And then from the drums, I went on to the bongos. From the bongos, I went to the bass guitar and then to the piano. So there's a range of instruments I can play.
All right, because I was led to believe that you just do the piano and the bongos. So you're multi-instrumental.
All right.
And you're, I have to say, everybody's so modest about their ability. It's amazing. Pamela, I have to say, just push into that microphone there. Everybody seems to be so modest. It's just that this is what they enjoy doing. There's no ego about it, which is really nice.
Yeah, that's the thing I absolutely love about them. They come into the practice and with a smile on their face, there's a lovely atmosphere around the music room as a result. And they're a pure pleasure. And I learn from them all the time, you know, so I'm so lucky to get to, they help me and we all help each other. We all work together and they teach each other and they learn from each other, which is lovely.
Now, this other gentleman here is Colm Bellew. Colm, where are you from?
Dundalk.
You're from Dundalk. Yeah. Okay. Now, you play, you sing. Was that you we heard in there singing?
No, I was there, but I do a bit of singing as well.
A little bit of singing as well. And you're in transition year at this moment in time. Right. So how initially did you come to the world of music?
Well, I started when I was younger. I tried the violin, but I didn't go very well. Just hated it. Hated going to lessons. But then in school, they were starting to have guitar lessons. So I thought I'd give it a go. Then I just fell in love with it then.
Right.
Loved it then.
Okay, I was hoping we were going to get another tune, but I can see our head of engineering just sort of leaving the studio there at the moment, and everybody else is gazing in towards us from Studio 2. So maybe at some point in the future we can get another tune. But I mean, I have to say, I was absolutely blown away genuinely by that experience. That was fantastic. Listening to that was CD quality from that studio in there. It was, if I closed my eyes, I could have imagined I was listening to something that had been recorded. It was that perfect.
Yeah. Do you know, we went into the TLT before Christmas and Patrick Leddy actually recorded a track for us for a Sheensa competition. And I think you're right there, that helped us fine tune everything, and it was sort of the icing on the cake for us. And I think we've come along because of all our live performances to date, say in the TLT and School Stars, and we were on TV3 there recently. I think as a result, the lads are ready to take on anything, and The hope now is to get on to the Late Late Show. That's the next stop, please God.
And that's an interesting thing, because they say an awful lot of stuff starts on the Late Late Show, including the likes of Sharon Shannon. Yeah. And you're going to be supporting Sharon Shannon, is that at some point in the future?
Hopefully, yeah. And we're supporting the Kilfenora Cayley Band in August here as part of the FLA. So we'll be in the TLT for that. So
this is Gail Lynn's Sheensa competition, isn't it?
We were in that. Yes. So this is just part of the FLA for in August, and we have been asked to open for the Kilfenora Cayley Band in the TLT.
Another very well known Irish traditional music group as well.
Yeah.
The Heroes of 16, is this the piece you were referring to that you did with Tommy Leddy that you recorded? Because I know it has over, 50,000 hits on YouTube at the moment?
Yeah, it does, yeah. So that was something we wrote to commemorate 1916.
16, yeah.
And that went live about a year or so ago in 2016. And it was, that was really the start of our sort of music group, that we went to a different level. And since then, we've kept it at that.
Is there any chance all the other members can just come into the studio and give us a big, big cheer? Because I think it's only fair, because they're all standing there looking at me. I feel like I'm in a cage or something. Just everybody just give us one big cheer, because you did absolutely tremendously well. Big round of applause, please, for all of yourselves. That's the collective clapping of Fui Gasa and their hard-working musical director, musical trainer, if you will, Pamela Campbell. But Fui Gasa, thank you indeed all. Donica, Connor, Sam, Colm, Erlith, Enoch, Oisin and Ronan. I haven't left out anybody there, I hope. Thank you so much all for coming in. That was an amazing experience. Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
The Mid-Morning Show, brought to you by Gilmore's Kings Court, your local Mercedes-Benz dealership. Call us today to drive the awesome 2018 E-Class with class-leading levels of specification, including an AMG exterior pack, leather upholstery, satellite navigation, and much more. That's a lot of awesome. Gilmore's, your local Mercedes-Benz dealership, Kings Court 042-966-7126, or see gilmores.ie.
Paul McKenna on LMFM.
Our next guest is involved with Haven, and Haven is a prominent Irish non-governmental organisation working on the ground in Haiti. They are undertaking their 12th volunteer trip to Haiti, starting tomorrow morning, by the way. They'll be flying out, David and his daughter will be flying out to Haiti and going to Port-au-Prince, and they'll be there until the 22nd of April this year. He's taking part once again. This is his 8th occasion, and his daughter Aisling is going for her 4th occasion. They're from Knockbridge in County Louth, and they're travelling together with 34 other volunteers. So they're heading, as I say, off tomorrow. Dave McGooey is on the line at the minute. Dave, good morning to you.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much. So we were just discussing it very briefly off air. We were talking about the journey time of something like 3.5-4 hours. I didn't do this in my head. I had to look at the internet. It's roughly 4,113 miles, or just over 6,500 kilometres. So that's a massive journey. You're doing this for the 8th time. How did you initially get involved with Haven, and why did you decide that you wanted to help out in Haiti?
The volunteering element of it was to build it. It was always something I wanted to do. Now, it's one of these things, you hear about it every year and you think, oh, yeah, I'd love to do that. And then somebody said to me one night in a bar, said, look, I'm going to Haiti with Haven. Would you be interested in coming with us? This was late 2009. And I said, yeah, we'll go. So myself and my brother and a cousin decided we would go, signed up. And then we had the earthquake in January 2010. And so that took us over to, you know, that after that, we filled the basically Haven filled the plane with volunteers to go and help out rebuilding homes in Haiti.
Now, the area,
that's how I got involved.
The area that you're going across, the area you're going to, sorry to interrupt you, is known as Grassier. That's roughly 2 hours southwest of Haiti's capital. And as you said, I mean, that was devastated by an earthquake some 8 years ago. What are the conditions like there now? Are they now self-sufficient once again, or are they still struggling to get back on their feet?
Oh, they're still struggling to get back on their feet. Like, Haiti is one of the poorest countries in the world. It's very hard to believe that it's only an hour from the United States. You know, when you're there, there's a lot of people. There's 2.5 million people live on under €1.25 a day. 1.5 million people live day to day not knowing where our next meal is going to come from. Haven have started, or over the last number of years, have got, in regard to the trips, the volunteer trips, we've kind of gone away from building new homes to repairing old ones that have been damaged, and working in orphanages, repairing them, and schools, which is what we're doing this year. As you say, Grecia was actually very near the epicentre of the earthquake in 2010, and it was also badly damaged by Hurricane Matthew in 2016. So for every step forward Haiti takes, it seems to get hit by, you know, a hurricane or an earthquake. And the people have a lot to put up with. They never really had a lot, but they're very proud and they're very friendly people. It's hard to explain. Like, just after the earthquake, it was devastated. Port-au-Prince was literally devastated. It was very hard to see, and things have improved a bit, but like the school, Jean-Jean school, which was damaged in the earthquake, has not been repaired since, and we are going over now and we'll hopefully repair it by re-roofing it, installing and repairing toilet blocks, painting and upgrading the buildings. We make furniture like bookcases and desks and blackboards for the kids, and install a playground area for them. We'll also build a new shaded kitchen and dining area. A thing about schools in Haiti, most of the children will get a meal when to go to school, which is a benefit to them.
Now, as I mentioned at the outset, this is your eighth time taking part. Your daughter, Aisling, however, she's travelling with you for the fourth time. Yeah. So how did she find the experience firstly, and then subsequently, how has she found it?
Well, the first time she actually went on her own. It was a trip I missed. I was actually diagnosed with cancer in 2015, and Aisling took my place on the trip. And she loved it, loved the experience. Struggle to adjust at times when you come back, when you see how much we have and how much they don't have. Like myself now, I suppose, the bug has bitten, and we just can't wait to go back and help improve people's lives. But also, it's great for me in that, and I presume her, but I can't really speak for that, I can go away for this 10 days and I concentrate on what we're doing there. I don't have to worry about what's going on at home. I don't have to worry about when my next hospital visit is. I don't have to worry about anything like that. I have to say, If anybody wanted to go, I would recommend the volunteer trips to anybody.
And I'm going to give out those details in just a second in regards to the Haven website. But could I just end on this note? And I can only imagine, Dave, for you, that the experience must have had a very positive impact on the overall father-daughter relationship as well.
Oh, it does, yeah. Now, I've actually had both my daughters on trips. Kira went when she was in fifth year in St. Louis, my youngest daughter. And she would love to go back. But because she was doing her leave insert and now she's at college in London, she's been grounded. But both of them have, and you do get a great relationship with them. We'll actually spend a lot of time working together over there. And it's great to get that time,
Dave, I'm going to leave it there. Unfortunately, that's where we come to an end. But thank you very, very much. I understand you're in work at the moment. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. And can we wish you well and a safe journey tomorrow?
Can I just say, Paul, as I say, if anybody's interested in going, they should volunteering, they should look up havenpartnership.com. And I just take the chance to thank everybody in my family and my wife, Cecilia, and friends and everybody around the dock who supported us over all those years.
Dave McCooey, thank you very, very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's Dave McCooey, actually, not McCooey, but he's going with Haven, prominent Irish non-governmental organisation. He's leaving tomorrow morning from Dublin Airport, heading all the way to New York, then going New York to Port-au-Prince in Haiti, going to reconstruct and refurbish the school there. They'll be there until the 22nd. Havenpartnership.com. That is the web address.
The Mid-Morning Show, brought to you by Gilmore's Kings Court, your local Mercedes-Benz dealership. Call us today to drive the awesome 2018 E-Class with class-leading levels of specification, including an AMG exterior pack, leather upholstery, satellite navigation, and much more. That's a lot of awesome. Gilmore's, your local Mercedes-Benz dealership, Kings Court 042-966-7126, or see gilmores.ie.
Paul McKenna on LMFM.
I had to tell you very importantly about Esquire's Coffee Shop in Drogheda. If you've been listening to us over the past number of days, you will know, and indeed if you've been there, you'll certainly know, they've opened a brand new deli counter. There's a wide range of hot and cold specials. We have a €50 voucher to give away. We are celebrating with Esquire's Coffee Shop in Drogheda. Now, the only catch is, if you go on our Facebook fan page, that is where you will find your opportunity to win this €50 Esquire's voucher. I do say it every day, do it sooner rather than later. If you haven't got the time, make time, because a £50 voucher, that'll go a long way. That's a lot of cups of coffee, I think. But anyway, Esquire's Coffee Shop in Drogheda, a brand new deli counter there. And if you go along there onto our Facebook page now or later, you have a chance to win that €50 Esquire's voucher. Okay, right. Oh, by the way, something else I've just noticed. When Fui Gasso were in Studio 2, it's just been brought to my attention that they've left something behind. Let's have a go at this. No. more snake charming than sticking together. But anyway, Fui Gaza, they may be listening in. Somebody has left a flute or a recorder behind. Might just hold on. You are listening to the Mid-Morning Show. Canned Heat did Let's Stay Together in the 70s, I believe, and then Brian Ferry came along when he wasn't with Roxy Music and did Let's Stick Together. In a while, we will be speaking to Anne Lynham. Now, Anne is from a rather small and pretty village, which is on the border of Meath and Kildare, and she was selected as the Meath Rose for last year. So she's going to be speaking to us about the selection process for this year's Meath Rose, which will be taking place on the 15th of April. So we'll speak to Anne in just a few moments. And we have an extra one in there as well, because we'll be speaking to Ken Bamford. And Ken is a gentleman from Carrieduff in the north of Ireland. He's a Samaritans volunteer and has been for quite some years, and I just gave him a ring to see where he was, because he's cycling from the north of Ireland and heading all the way to Gibraltar. That's got to be some cycle, isn't it? Obviously he's going to have to take ferries and the like as well, but I just wanted to know where he was, and he's standing outside the front door of Broadcasting House, so he'll be in just a few moments as well to talk about why he's doing that and the sort of journey and all various other things as well. Picture House on the way with Heavenly Day. If we have time to play them, but certainly we have to do this.
The Mid-Morning Show, brought to you by Gilmore's Kings Court, your local Mercedes-Benz dealership. Call us today to drive the awesome 2018 E-Class with class-leading levels of specification, including an AMG exterior pack, leather upholstery, satellite navigation, and much more. That's a lot of awesome. Gilmore's, your local Mercedes-Benz dealership, Kings Court 042-966-7126, or see gilmores.ie.
Paul McKenna on LMFM.
Anne Lynham, as I mentioned a little bit earlier on, she lives in Hortland. This is a small enough area, small enough village. I wouldn't say it's a town, but it's a village. And it's pretty much just on the border of Meath and Kildare. Now, Anne last year was selected as the Meath Rose, but on April 15th of this year, the Meath Rose will be chosen in the New Grange in Navan. There will be 16 ladies in total, hoping to be the lucky one, that lady selected to represent Meath in the upcoming Rose of Tralee. Anne Lynham is on the line at the minute. Anne, hello to you.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Not at all, you're very welcome, and thank you for taking the time. I do know that you're fairly busy with work, so this is the only one day we could actually get to you. Everything is hectic and go.
I'm just
thinking that when you were sitting in the dome on that night last year for the Rose of Tralee, wearing that Meath sash, that must have been a very, very proud moment for you and for your family.
Yeah, it was a bit surreal, to be honest, because like never did I think this time last year that I'd be sitting representing Meath in the dome. And like it was amazing. Like we as a family would watch it every single year and be admiring all the girls. And this year I had front row seats as a rose. So it was very, very special.
But the other thing as well is that this whole experience of representing Meath and being at the Rose for Tralee has revitalised your love of singing and performing. Is that something that was always part of your life?
Yeah, so through my time in secondary school, I was an active member of the Kilcock Youth Choir. So I went to school in Kilcock, and I suppose I fell out of singing then after I did kind of fifth, sixth year in school. And then when I entered the Meath Rose, I was like, do you know what? Like, I'm gonna take a leap of faith here and start singing again. On the night of my selection last year, my sister actually kindly accompanied me, which gave me a bit of confidence as well. And I kind of was going out of my comfort zone, even though I'd sang in front of people before. It was kind of going out of my comfort zone because I hadn't sang for about 6 years. And like my boyfriend had never heard me sing. That was the first time he'd heard me sing as well. So it was great though. Like I was definitely delighted I did it because it was kind of hemming and hawing for a while before the selection. And I was like, I'm just going to do it. So yeah.
But it's a big family occasion, certainly, because I know your grandmother has played a major part. She's been a big influence in entering. You used to watch the Rose of Tralee with her many years ago as well, didn't you?
Yeah, so Nana Molly lives with us, and so she's lived with us since I started primary school, and we used to watch it every single year together, all together in her sitting room. And the year before last, they had like a not a competition, but it was to send in your pictures of, you know, the Rose of Tralee party, who you're watching the Rose of Tralee with. And we sent in a picture of Nana in a tiara that we got her for her 90th the previous year. And we said the wannabe Mead Rose on it. Now, it never made it to the telly, but we always said, we always laugh at it now, saying, never did we think that I'd be sitting as Mead Rose the following year. Yeah, it was a very special year for her because she understood everything that was going on this time last year. And it was, you know, she was, I feel like she was very proud, and I'm glad that I made her proud. As well as I'm very lucky to have two nanas in my life. My other nana actually crocheted me a green hat to wear in the St. Patrick's Day Parade with the Roses this year. So can't forget about the other nana as well, Nana Mamie.
Otherwise, the two nanas would be at loggerheads. So we don't
want that. Yeah, no, we don't want that.
No. It'd be knitting needles at sundown. We don't want that.
Yeah.
Now, April 15th, New Grange Hotel, Navan. The selection process will be taking place at about 7 in the evening. Can you just give us some brief background details about some of the ladies? I know there's 16, but you have Anita Mullen, firstly.
Yes. So I only met Anita, I think it was on last Friday evening. We all kind of met up just for a bit of a chat because I hadn't met her before that. Anita is, I know she has a degree in psychology. So they're all very, all the girls I've talked to, and I'm sure all the ones I've met on set, they're all very accomplished ladies. And I will be happy to pass the title on to any one of them. I'm very proud to have got to know them over the past few weeks.
In fact, you've been WhatsApping quite a few of them. There's Amanda Farrell, there's Leah Brady, Laura Donoghue as well, yes.
So I met a few of the girls at the bonding day, that was a few weeks ago. We all got to know each other then, but then as the girls put in their applications, they were all added to a WhatsApp group, and we've all just been chatting about different bits and pieces. And I've tried to meet up with them as much as I can if they've something on, just to have a chat and, like, just get to know them, really, because I think that's an important bit of it as well. They're a very special group of girls. They're great girls.
Well, Anne, thank you very, very much for speaking to us. You've been a fine representative for the County of Meath throughout the whole period since you've been selected. And I know you just said you'd be very, very pleased to pass the title, the sash, on to the next lucky lady, which will be selected on the 15th. But Anne Lynham, for the minute, Meath Rose, thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There you go. Very, very pleasant young lady as well. The current Meath Rose. And passing that sash and the whole representative sash for Meath in the Rose of Tralee on to the next lady. We don't know who that will be, but April 15th, 7 p.m. from there on onwards in the New Grange Hotel in Navan, all will be revealed. We have another guest. He's on the way. He's a cyclist. He's coming from Northern Ireland. He's going to Gibraltar. We'll speak to him after the Shires on LMFM.
But there's something about tonight, moving in the first degree. The music caught me red-handed in the neon light, and I'm guilty.
Absolutely. We were just saying, we were just remarking to Ken here that we're talking about, normally we have four or so guests on the show, and Ken is already number four, and we'll have another two guests coming in as one guest, if you understand my meaning. But we're going to introduce you to this gentleman now. His name is Ken Bamford. He's from Carriduff in the north of Ireland. And for the past 12 or so years, I think I'm right in saying, Ken, is it 12 years?
Yes, that's right.
You've been a Samaritans volunteer. Now, I know it's a matter of public record, your age and all that, but do you want us to tell us your age, or will we leave that to one side? Well,
I reached the grand old age of 60 just January past.
Well done. Okay. And you've been a dedicated cyclist for some 20 or so years, but now you're not just doing it for pleasure, you're doing this for the Samaritans. Tell us why.
Well, this has been on my bucket list for quite some time, and as the planning came around, and it came about or finalised whenever the final of the European Rugby Cup final is in Bilbao on the 12th of May, so I bought a ticket, so therefore I had to go, and all my family and friends. And well, if we're going to raise some money, we'll donate it, and it's going to Samaritans. So it's I'm doing, you know, I'm filling bucket list and raising some money.
So you're cycling from the north of Ireland, you're coming all the way down through the likes of Dundalk and Drogheda and so on and so on, and then eventually you're going to have to use another mode of transport to get to a different destination, see a rugby match, and then go to Gibraltar and finish
That's
the
it.
Challenge.
That's it.
Right.
I'm getting the boat on Sunday evening from Auxerre to Cherbourg, and then down the west coast of France, with the only deadline being the 12th of May to get to Bilbao, and then after that, the wide open road, and I'll get there whenever I get there.
I was going to say, you'd have some jobs cycling across the Irish Sea. It's a bit of a challenge, all right. Now, I understand, and this is something that many people won't be aware of, that the Samaritans are going to open a branch division, if you will, in Gibraltar.
Well, they have. They have as recently. I think it's been open in the past 6 months, and somehow through the network and they discovered that I was doing this cycle to Gibraltar on behalf of Samaritans. So they've been in touch, and they want to greet me when I arrive. And even one of the volunteers is a keen cyclist, wants to bring some of his cycling pals out to bring me in, which is fabulous, absolutely fabulous.
Now, in recent times, you've spoken about how helping countless people who basically have hit rock bottom through your volunteer work, that has given you a lot of appreciation of your own life. Is that coming from some sort of experience in your own past, or are we allowed to ask that question?
Well, yes. And then, at the end of the day, I mean, whenever we have our own experiences, then we know how difficult life can be, and how valuable the support of family and friends can help you through that. And somebody is having a safe place to talk and express your feelings. And, you know, so many people today have nowhere to go, nobody to talk, and nobody to listen. And it's the listening. It's the listening bit that helps. There's so many times where even amongst our friends, we compete each other with, I've got a good story and somebody's got a better story, but why not just listen to what the story is? And, you know, and it's only them, when we listen and we realise and we understand, you know, how people feel and what their thoughts are, that they can help them in their time of despair and distress. It's being there.
Ken, is it true that you have described yourself, now, I feel a bit awkward saying this, but you've described yourself as a fat boy on a bike making his way to the European rugby final in Bilbao?
That's me.
Not a perhaps, pick on you.
There's a few meals there, and perhaps when I get there, I'll maybe be one or two
tons lighter.
Maybe a size smaller. Who knows? Who knows? But there'll be plenty of wine and beer along the way. So it, but it'll be burning up a few more calories, hopefully.
Not while you're cycling, I hope. The
no,
drink responsibly, please, people.
Indeed.
Now, getting back to the serious issue, and this is the whole thing of the Samaritans, because one big problem is that there's not enough volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, because our lines are now on the free phone, so, and there's no record of those calls, be it landline or mobile, our calls have increased. We take one call every 6 seconds, a call for help, and it comes to the time whenever there's, you know, not every branch provides a 24-hour service, and there are times during the night whenever there's a waiting list for callers to be answered. So it's more volunteers. We always need some more money to help things, but it's more volunteers, provides more landlines to listen to more callers.
When you leave the studios here at Broadcasting House, what route are you taking?
I'm heading down to Dublin. I'm spending a night, my first night in a hostel since I was about 16. So that'll be a new experience. And then down through Dublin tomorrow morning, down to Arklow, on down to Wexford, and then the ferry on Sunday evening.
Has your bike been sponsored? Because I would imagine to undertake a trip or something like this, that you need a fairly professional bike.
Well, this is an old iron donkey that I've had for the last 15 years.
And really?
I've cycled around Ireland in it, and I've cycled, you know, from Mizzen to Malin and round the coasts of Donegal and Connemara and Mayo, and it's just fabulous. And it's, you know, as long as it keep it serviced, and it'll go all day, every day.
It's not one of these carbon fibre things where the saddle is up really high.
No.
And
it's literally a gate with wheels.
A dead end with wheels.
Absolutely.
Okay, listen, Ken, I know you're under tight pressure, and before we let you go, I know you've done some of the big cycling events as well. Just very quickly, which ones? I think you've been London to Paris? Have you done that?
London to Paris in 24 hours. So that was cycling through the night, which was quite an experience. And arriving in Paris on Sunday morning, the day before the final stage of the tour, and riding around the Arc de Triomphe and down the cobbles of the Champs-Élysées to finish under the Eiffel Tower. So that was a great experience.
Cycling around the Arc de Triomphe. I mean, that's one of the busiest junctions in Europe.
Absolutely.
All the cars, yeah.
Yep. It was marvellous. But this was early on a Saturday morning, and they weren't up too early. But no, it was a marvellous experience. And I've crossed the Alps and I've crossed the Pyrenees. And so I've done a few things.
I'm starting to feel very, very old and very tired.
And you're wondering why is he still fat?
No, you're not. That's not a pick on you, Ken. No, listen, we're going to take a photograph of you, yourself and myself, at a reception, and we'll put it up in our podcast later on.
Splendid.
You don't look 60, really. Hand on heart. Where my heart is somewhere here.
I've been there somewhere.
Ken Bamford, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very, very much. I'm going to mention as well that in order for you to donate, you can go to the mydonate.bt.com/fundraisers/KenBamford1. I know it's a mouthful, but go to mydonate.bt.com. You will find it there. Just have a little look, type in Ken's name, and it will come up. Ken Bamford, thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
And safe journey.
Thanks.
The Mid-Morning Show, brought to you by Gilmore's Kings Court, your local Mercedes-Benz dealership. Call us today to drive the awesome 2018 E-Class with class-leading levels of specification, including an AMG exterior pack, leather upholstery, satellite navigation, and much more. That's a lot of awesome. Gilmore's, your local Mercedes-Benz dealership, Kings Court 042-966-7126, or see gilmores.ie.
Paul McKenna on LMFM.
Now, just before we go to our final guests on the show for you, we want to tell you that the Dundalk Stadium Family Race and Fun Day in association with LMFM will be taking place on the afternoon of Sunday, May 6th. It's a bank holiday weekend. Yes, another bank holiday. The Monday certainly will be a bank holiday, and we want to encourage you with your families and your children to go to the races. This day is going to include a top class afternoon of horse racing. There will be lots of family attractions, the likes of bouncy castles, other inflatables, Woolly Ward's mobile farm, face painting, so on and so forth. The horse racing educator is actually going to be there, and he will be introducing the children to the world of silks and horseshoes and the like as well. So with all that said, it is just going to be a fantastic day out. You will have the chance to win family passes on the day, which include admission for up to 4 adults and an unlimited number of accompanied children under the age of 14. But what we have now is we're giving away one ticket right now. What could we get for you to do? Well, we're starting this the 12th of April, which is today. If you would just very quickly, because this is what we had the time to do, text in the word Dundalk Stadium. Just put it all one word. Dundalk Stadium, your name and your location to 086 1800 658. And we will announce that, all going well, just before news at 1. Now, we have to go and do this because it's an event of a different sort. But with less than 3 weeks to go to the Dulig Cystic Fibrosis 10K Remembrance Run, the organisers would very much like to thank you, especially if you have registered so far. If you haven't yet registered, there is still plenty of time. Now, I know they are delighted with the response and they're very, very appreciative of the support that family and friends and all the local clubs and communities have shown them. But we have in studio Anne Noon, who is taking part in the run, I believe, and Cyril Gillen, who is chairperson of the Drogheda branch of Cystic Fibrosis Ireland. And both are in studio. So, Anne and Cyril, thank you very much for coming in. Thank you indeed.
Thanks for inviting us, Paul.
Not at all.
Thank you, Paul.
Cyril, can I come to you for us and just, I suppose, just ask you to step us through briefly the aims of the run?
The aims of the run are organised by Anne and Kevin, and it's been going on for many years now, Anne.
This is the sixth year.
And you organised it in memory?
The first run was in 2013, and we started it to celebrate and remember Kelly and Cathy and all of our cystic fibrosis loved ones.
This would have been Cathy O'Brien and
Kelly
Noon,
yes.
Who obviously would have been a relation of
yes,
her.
Her daughter,
your daughter,
Kelly,
yes.
And niece Cathy. And to celebrate all the cystic fibrosis loved ones. So anyone that has any connection with CF, you know, we want them to take part and to remember their loved ones as well. So that's how it came about. And we also you know, started it to raise awareness of cystic fibrosis. So I think everybody in the village of Tulik and the surrounding areas now know about CF. I think they're probably tired of us at this stage, but hopefully not.
No, I would say the very opposite is true. I would say because CF certainly has been in the news an awful lot in recent times, and not always for the right reasons, but recently it's for the right reasons because treatment and longevity as well has improved.
Absolutely. Yes. It's all so positive now. And that's what our run is about. It's celebrating. It's not, you know, it's not to dwell on anything that's not positive. We also raise funds for the local Drogheda branch.
Now, sorry, Cyril.
Yeah. The Drogheda branch then is just, we had our national conference last weekend, which, like Anne was saying, everything is comparatively so positive nowadays. The whole theme of that was independent living for adults with CF. And we're appealing again to the generosity of the people. This Friday, tomorrow, is Cystic Fibrosis Roses Day. And we'll be haunting all of the shopping centres and depending on the generosity of the people to help us again. So like you say, everything nowadays is so very, very positive. New medication, adults, half of our people with CF are now adults, which is a figure we never thought we'd ever see. So there's so many triumphs and so many good news. It's been a sad year for cystic fibrosis Drogheda, in that we lost our great champion, Malachy Riley, who was well known to people who listened to CF. He was so talented in so many ways, so positive. He was a talented artist, musician, ran the post office in Dunleer, and he brought so much to the association that we really miss him. And of course, he left a loving wife and two children. But Mal never allowed CF to dominate his life. And in fact, the only criticism I would ever have of him is that if you brought him on to fundraise, he was so positive, he was absolutely useless at motivating people. He said the only thing he hadn't done that CF had stopped him doing was deep sea diving, I remember on one of your shows one day. So that has been an awful blow. But the work goes on. Everything is so positive nowadays towards what it was. And that is all because of the generosity of people who never fail to support us.
If I can just contrast what you just said there about Malachy, and the only thing that he didn't get to do was deep sea diving. Because to put it in context, in the 1950s, few children with cystic fibrosis lived to attend primary school. So really what you're saying now is it is just a totally different world, a world apart.
I remember saying to Martha, Malachy's wife, that it's so sad, but that, you know, when Malachy was born, no one would ever have expected that you would live to be into your 40s. He did not die of cystic fibrosis, did not conquer him, and that he left a wife and two children behind. So 20, 25 years ago, this was never an expectation. And we used to joke that someday in years to come, we'll be campaigning for special care for geriatrics with cystic fibrosis, that'll be our next campaign.
Cyril, can I just move across to Anne? I am conscious of the time that we have left. Anne, can you just very quickly talk us through the route of the 10K in Dulik?
Oh, so we start at in the village green, and we run up to Platten, turn left to Platten, all the back roads back into the village.
Right,
and 10K.
That's it, short and sweet.
Short and sweet, about, depends on how fast you are.
Full of energy
at
the start.
Some people come in 30 minutes, maybe less.
Full of energy at the start and out of breath at the end. That's it.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long it takes you. Even if you're there on Monday, we don't mind once you come out and wear the purple T-shirt. And as Cyril was saying about Malachy, like this year's run, we are especially remembering Malachy because he actually ran the 10K.
Right.
He sang at our 10K. And
ran a full marathon as well.
He also ran a full marathon.
And the burgers are worth it.
The burgers are worth it.
And you just reminded me very, very quickly. I just want to do this because part of the fun will be music with Shane. There's Morrison Neat, there's burgers, refreshments, tea, coffee, 3 water stations, 3 toilet facilities en route. And you will not be disappointed. That's what we're told. And there will be new technical running 2018 t-shirts for the first 300 registered, which you are wearing. And it looks very well on you. And to register and pay online, go to eventbrite.ie. There's facebook.com/DalikeCF10. And you can also contact Anna at 086-285-2642. I'm going to make time for this one particular song because I know you want us to play some of it. It's One Republic and it's called I Lived. This is the one. And thank you very much,
thank
Anne
you.
And Cyril for coming
thank
in.
Thank you very
thank
much,
you very
Paul.
Much, Paul.
Thank you.
Hope when you take that jump, you don't feel the fall. Hope when the water rises, you built a wall. Hope when the crowd screams out, you're screaming your name. Hope if everybody runs, you choose to stay. Hope that you fall in love, and it hurts so bad. When the moment comes, you'll say
mid-morning show, and that is One Republic, I Lived. And the very special sentiment behind that is that regardless of how young a CF sufferer may have passed away, they lived. They did it all. They took life by the scruff of the neck and they went for it and they didn't let it conquer them. And certainly we have to mention the two names that we mentioned a little bit earlier on. That was Cathy O'Brien and Kelly Noon, and there was Malachy as well, very much involved in the CF movement. But that was One Republic, I Lived. And my thanks once again to our two guests there, Cyril Gillen and Anne Noon. We have to conclude your mid-morning show for today. Just very quickly to say that Rose Devine of Town Parks, Navan County Meath, you're getting the ticket to go along to Dundalk Stadium. This is the Dundalk Stadium Family Race and Fun Day in association with ourselves, LMFM. Congratulations to you. You're winning that. We're back with you tomorrow between 11 and 1. Last one of the week. Have a lovely day.
The Mid-Morning Show, brought to you by Gilmore's Kings Court, your local Mercedes-Benz dealership. Call us today to drive the awesome 2018 E-Class with class-leading levels of specification, including an AMG exterior pack, leather upholstery, satellite navigation, and much more. That's a lot of awesome. Gilmore's, your local Mercedes-Benz dealership, Kings Court, 042-966-7126, or see gilmores.ie.